reading is from, today's reading is from Matthew 10, verses 24 through 39. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master, if they have the call master of Ezekiel. How much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not have become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who cannot destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are more valued than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, also I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have to come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves the father or the mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Bless the reading of the word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On Monday morning, a group of us pastors in Pittsburgh Presbytery get together for a Zoom meeting to kind of check in with one another. Well, we always start the Zoom meeting by reading that week's scripture reading, and I could feel all of us groaning as we read this scripture reading, because we were like, great, on Father's Day, we have to talk about sons not getting along with their fathers, and if anyone loves their family more than me, they're not worthy to be called my disciple. Great. But friends, the more time that I spent with this passage this week, the more that I came to realize that this passage is really about discipleship, not so much about how we should order our households. What Jesus is saying is that faithful proclamation of the gospel is going to put disciples in conflict with the world and even with their own families. When Jesus says, "For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law," Jesus is illustrating one area of our lives where we may feel the cost of discipleship. Here, Jesus isn't telling us to simply reject our families, but maybe to think about where they fall in our list of priorities. If we want to follow Jesus, then following Jesus has to be the priority. And when we maybe take time away from our families, or perhaps create conflict within our families, sometimes that is what we are called to do. As if family drama wasn't bad enough, Jesus tells us that's not even the worst of it. Jesus says, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. take up their cross and follow me. What Jesus is saying here is that he expects his disciples to participate in his suffering. And Jesus tells his disciples to expect this so that when they experience it, they won't be afraid of it. The older I've gotten, the more that I've come to appreciate how realistic Jesus is about the threats his disciples will face. I think somewhere along the line of Christian history, we've misunderstood suffering. Perhaps we see it as a sign that we've done something wrong or that our faith isn't strong enough. But here Jesus is saying that suffering for the sake of the gospel is actually a sign that we're doing something right. And if we name this cost of discipleship, maybe we won't allow it to hinder our witness. So what does it look like to name the cost of discipleship? To name the cost of taking up our cross and following Jesus? As I was putting this sermon together this week, I was also trying to take some time to finally organize some of the pictures and video that I took when I was in Central America this winter. I found this picture when I was organizing the pictures. This is a picture of Monsignor Oscar Romero. I took this picture in El Salvador when we were visiting his home and chapel. While on the tour, I learned that Romero was a Salvadoran priest during the Salvadoran Civil War, which took place from 1979 to 1992, so during the Cold War. Romero served a parish in San Salvador, which at the time was a very poor city that was rife with gang violence and civil war and corruption. During the Civil War, there was a conflict between the military and those who opposed the military. So what the military did was they started targeting civilians as a way to instill terror in the city. Father Romero thought that this was unjust, even during wartime. In his final sermon given the day before he died, Father Romero called for soldiers to disobey these orders. He preached, "In the name of God, in the name of this suffering people whose cries rise to the heavens more loudly each day, I implore you, I beg you, I order you in the name of God to stop this repression." The next day, Romero was shot by an assassin as he celebrated Mass in a hospital. Those responsible to this day were not brought to justice. I share this story not to scare you, but to show you one example of discipleship leading to the cross. If you look across the span of human history, you will see many examples of men who chose to stand up for what was right instead of what was easy, and who met the same fate that Jesus did. We should not be surprised by this, because Jesus says, for us to follow him, one outcome is we could meet the same fate he did. If we want to follow Jesus, we have to prepare ourselves that we are called to participate in all parts of his life, from his exaltation to the cross. Now, not all of us are going to be called to martyrdom, but all of us are called to participate fully in the life of discipleship, at whatever cost that means for each one of us. My reflection question for all of us this week is to reflect on what it means for us to take up our cross in our lives and follow Jesus. So I didn't think it was fair to just ask this question and not do the work myself. So as I was reflecting on this question, here are a few examples that I thought of. Taking up my cross means speaking out against injustice. Sure, I can do this from the pulpit, but I can also do this at family gatherings when my great uncle makes a racist joke. Instead of saying quiet, which is what I usually do because I really want to keep peace and not create drama at family gatherings, instead of doing this, I can do something simple. I can say, no, that's not funny. That makes me uncomfortable. Please stop. Right now, taking up my cross means wearing a mask in public. Even though it's hot, even though it's hard to breathe, even though my foundation gets all over the inside of the mask and I feel like I'm inhaling it every time I take a breath. But a mask is one way that I can love my neighbors right now. Finally, taking up my cross means continuing to work with my coach to modify my diet. It means eating more vegetables and eating less ice cream. But most importantly, it means figuring out how to do this without making everyone around me miserable. When we were at home, I learned just how important nutrition is to my overall health. And as we figure out how to live with the threat of a virus, I need to do my part to stay healthy because I want to be helpful in whatever our new normal looks like. Now, as I make these changes in my life, I can already feel the pushback. My great uncle is going to tell me to quit being such a sensitive liberal millennial. He was only joking. My mother is going to tell me she wears a mask at work all day. She isn't going to wear one for a quick trip to the grocery store, to the gas station. My sister is going to tell me that it won't kill me if I go with her for ice cream this weekend. And I have to be okay with this. I have to be okay with the criticism and the conflict and the name calling from my own family that is going to come my way when I make unpopular decisions. This is the cost of discipleship. Now, I imagine a few of you are sitting there going, why on earth would I do this? Why would I follow Jesus if it only brings suffering and pain? Well, the first thing to say is it doesn't only bring suffering and pain, but I think we do this because suffering and pain is a part of the human story. In fact, we worship a God who became man and dwelled among us so that he could understand this part of our stories. Also, as Christians, we believe that Jesus will come again. And when he does return, we hope and we pray that we will be able to recognize him. We do the work of discipleship because it trains us to recognize Jesus when he comes and when he shows us his hands and his sides. We will be familiar with his wounds because they are going to match our own. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.